Our listeners, of course, will be mostly people who stand and watch and cheer and shout. And I'm sure they'd be interested to hear how different it was being out on the pitch. What was playing at King's Home like for you?
It was quite funny, actually, because the shed, as it is now, was completely different back then. The characters that came in and out of it, anybody could wander around the ground. You had the likes of, it was the guy, Dickie Timbrell, and all these characters that threw out the one-liners and the characters of the ground. Whereas, don't get me wrong, and I'm not being disparaging at all, the current support I think is fantastic, but I don't know if the characters are there. But again, because I don't come here as regular as I did, I don't really know if there are. All I can hark back to is mine, and my old man used to stand behind the post with his mates. I'll tell you a story about my father. We were playing one game, and it was a long time ago. Steve Baker was playing scrum half, and all you could hear from behind the post, "Come on, Baker, get in the way. Move the ball, Baker." Anyway, pressure came on. We're down under our post. "Come on, Baker, get in the way." Steve Baker turns around and says, "Why don't you just F off?" I went on and tapped Steve on the shoulder and said, "Steve?" He said, "Yeah." I said, "That's my dad." "Sorry. Hi, Mr. Smith." And they became quite friendly afterwards. But it was that thing. And, don't get me wrong, he used to give me stick. Him and his cronies from the Naval Society, they all used to stand there. And I used to get a lot of stick as well. So once he got his free ticket for the match,
How far around the world has rugby taken you? Where have you played abroad?
Furthest away, Australia. I had a season out there in 1989 for a team called the Waratahs in Wollongong. The year before, Ian Smith had gone to play for the same team. I was out there the summer of 89. There was myself, Pete Jones, Kev Dunn, living up in Sydney, where Larry Cummins, Jer Bennett, and Cormac. And that was the year of Teague and the Lions. And we did go to a lot of the games. The story that Craig Chalmers bandies about is true, about the night before. It wasn't the night before a game, it was the night after a game, actually, when he was sharing a room with Teague and a few of us rolled in drunk as lords at about 2 o'clock in the morning, and Craig Chalmers was in bed trying to get some sleep. What he doesn't tell you is the fact that I've got blazer, trousers, shoes, tie, all the stuff, all the regalia, and I just got into bed with him. And he's, "Mike, Teague, help me, help me." Teague came over, grabbed me by the scruff of my neck, picked me up, threw me on the chaise lounge, and I spent the night there in their hotel room. So that bit is true. But yeah, we did. We followed Mike around, which was good. Based in Wollongong, but I mean, trains and moving around, it was great. I've played in...
How did that come about?
Again, Smalls, this team, the Waratahs, then Wollongong, were looking for players for the following season. And Smalls put us onto it. Ian Smith put us onto it. And so a few of us went. And it was great. Really, really enjoyable. And for that level of rugby, they weren't first-class rugby here, but the talent was amazing. The talent pool of this team was great. A couple of the lads went on and played New South Wales and such like. So that was, I'll say that one happened. I've managed to play in Hong Kong in the 10s prior to the 7s for a couple of teams. Obviously South Africa, because we toured there. United States a few times, Italy. I still go to Amsterdam Sevens, and I've been going since 1985 as a player. I don't play anymore. I'm involved with the charity team over there. I still go to that. which I really enjoy. Once a year, I just let your hair down and just have some fun. All over the place, really.
Who were the most entertaining people you came across in the game?
Players-wise, or... from here, you've got to have Jim Breeze for his singing, because he could belt out a tune, that guy. He was good. Dave Spencer for his ridiculous jokes. But if he told them now, you wouldn't find them funny. But back then, he was nuts, absolutely nuts. Bobby Folk for his card skills, because Bobby never lost at cards, and we could never fathom why. A bit like Dalboy with that hand, you know. Nick Price was a brilliant character. The Lord Lucan, the missing link. He was brilliant. Always wearing a Pringle jumper, always with a big fat cigar, always drinking champagne. He was fantastic, Nick. There were a few up in Worcester. Steve Lloyd, who's a complete barn pot when he's had a couple of drinks. And Mark Lynette, sumo, the prop. Quite a few. But yeah, a lot of people I've met. Crazy characters from all over, you know. I'm not going to tell you. Austin Healey is great fun when he's drunk, or he was. People like that, you know, really good.
That's not the image that usually is portrayed of Austin Healey.
Back then, when he was a young kid, I don't think he hadn't even played for England yet. He was still very talented, we took him to Amsterdam with the Sevens, actually, and he performed very well. There was we had a side once that we took, and the person got very upset because he wasn't in the main team, and he was talking about it a few weeks ago. We had Peter Winterbottom, a guy called Colin Hillman from Wales, as the hooker captain. He's unfortunately passed now. A guy called Mark Rawnsley from Wakefield. They were the props. And then there was another guy called Gary Williams. Then you had Mark Titley, the Welsh wing, Jerry Guscott, and Everton Davis. And on the bench was Will Carlin. And he hated it. He hated it because he couldn't get in the side. But I'm England captain. Tough.